The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is the Reverend Bob Levy, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid. Yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all at the limit. Let's go out.
No question I had it be. Tell me why you really mad at me. You've been living in a dream world, now I'm only focused on reality. Can't be living in a dream world, no, a nigga need a little clarity. We was posted in a dream world, I had to turn this shit into a tragedy. Like, no question it had to be. Tell me why you really mad at me. You've been living in a dream world, now I'm only focused on reality. Can't be living in a dream world, no, a nigga need a little clarity. We was posted in a dream world, how we turn this shit into a tragedy. Did our home, you gotta respect it. King on the throne, you gotta accept it. Bet on myself, I never been desperate. Man, I'm a $1 billion investment. Most of you niggas ain't getting the message. Pressure make diamonds, I ended up precious. Down for the ride, you taking the exit. Knowing you in the presence of a legend. Know that you fell in love with the aura. I ain't trying to get you caught up. Feeling the vibe when you speak of the past. Every time that shit get bored up. Ain't trying to get caught up in making it laugh. You wanna hit me with more love. Ain't trying to get caught up in making it last. Why should you giving me more love? Ain't the right time with a shame. I'm trying to heal from the pain. Came with the baggage, no claim. This ain't an even exchange. Your love and my love ain't the same. Guard your heart and go love yourself. Give your heart, you giving to someone else. I fell in love with the process of making a dollar, so now we just building up wealth. No question it had to be. Tell me why you really mad at me. You've been living in a dream world, now I'm only focused on reality. Can't be living in a dream world, no, a nigga need a little clarity. We was posted in a dream world, had to turn this shit into a tragedy. Like, no question it had to be. Tell me why you really mad at me. You've been living in a dream world, now I'm only focused on reality. Can't be living in a dream world, no, a nigga need a little clarity. We was posted in a dream world, how we turn this shit into a tragedy. In our own, you gotta respect it. King on the throne, they gotta accept it. Bet on myself, I never been desperate. Man, I'm a $1 billion investment.
It's Turnbuckle Tabloid with Jay Santee.
Turnbuckle Tabloid, cutting a promo. Facebook, you always got to find a way to screw around with something that I'm just getting into, ladies and gentlemen. Facebook. You know, just when I'm thinking that, hold on one second. Just when I'm thinking that I'm going to be able to at least get something going with the social media outlets and such like that, at least when I figure that I'm doing something right? And I'm like, hey, let me start connecting more with the listeners and such. Let me start doing a little bit more on this end. What do I get? Facebook and StreamYard having issues. They're beefing. So, yeah, it becomes an issue. Yo, what's going on, my guy Dave? What's popping, boy? What's going on? It's always something with these social media links and all that. Guys, honestly, what's going on, my guy? Shout out to my boy Ray. My boy Ray was on the show the past week. He had a match yesterday. Well, technically he didn't, but let's just say he came out of it unscathed. Thankfully, we don't have to send him flowers anywhere. Shout out to the boy. Guys, if you want to comment to the subject matter, which I'll be talking about today, which is the WWE draft, and I'm going to be doing some house cleaning as well. Subscribe to the YouTube page, watch it on YouTube, and I get to see the comments easier that way, because Facebook is just, I have to go through the phone and then it's back. It's utterly ridiculous. Hopefully Facebook and StreamYard comes to an understanding and they are able to cover their bases and such like that. It's just ridiculous. So Shout out to our boy, Jersey's boy. He's in the building. So, covering the draft last night, I shout out to the boys at the Ring Fanatics, who's on the other night. Give those gentlemen some love. The Ring Fanatics, the podcast. Homework and I were on that podcast the other night, and we were discussing the draft before it occurred. And I was kind of out of the loop of what was going on with it. I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. Didn't have any real predictions. Didn't have any real ideas of what was supposed to happen or occur. But once I was able to see what was unfolding on the draft, starting on SmackDown, that they took the wrestlers and put them in a pool, and that's where you made your selections, that I was like, okay. Now I'm getting a little feeling vibe for this. I'm getting an understanding for this. A lot of people were not happy with the first night. A lot of people were, they were pretty much confused, conflicted, or just upset that nobody really made any moves. There weren't any big changes that occurred. But I started to piece by piece and start to understand that, okay, that wasn't going to happen. I had mentioned this during the podcast with the Ring Fanatics. I said, I don't see a lot of movement happening with the draft as of yet. It's kind of tough to put together a draft with storylines fresh off. I mean, I know they've been doing drafts for years, but with this new era and the way that we still have strong storylines going about, let's say with Bloodline, with Cody, certain individuals that are in place, I felt as though that you weren't going to see a lot of movement happening, you know, and people were believing that we were going to see Seth jump to SmackDown. I kind of believed that it was going to happen too. We also believed that, you know, we were going to see these surprise signings and such. People thought that there was a Jacob Fatu sighting that was going to happen. And I'm like, that's not going to happen yet. But I thought that with the pool, you would want to sit there and protect the guys that you want to protect. And I figured that that would be the easiest way to at least hold the storylines down. Good looking out, my boy Dave. Shout out to you, bro. What up, my brother? I got my subscription. Thank you. So it's just ridiculous. Facebook and StreamYard's beef. I don't know what the hell's going on. I gotta go through one avenue to get to another. This way I had the back door to get off Facebook. It's nonsense. But in any case, so the biggest, I guess, surprise we were seeing were the NXT signings. Carmelo wasn't so much of a big thing. They were already prepping him for the main event, to make the main shows. We had already seen him down the line get there. The other one that was a big signing was Kiara James. I was shocked by that. I would have thought maybe Blair Davenport, Gigi Dolan, maybe they would get the call up. They've been down there for some time. But I guess Kiara James has the look that they're going for right now that they want on the main roster. So that was cool. But as for others jumping ship, going to other, Baron Corbin as well got a call. I didn't, like I said, didn't really see nothing that really jumped out at me. You know, yeah, it's just terrible. That's why. You're a better man than me. I got no patience for that. Well, Dave, I had to look at it like when we played sports, and you know, when we were picking guys to get on to play on your team, you already knew a certain dude that you want on your team, and you've always played better with certain guys when we were picking squads, like when you were captain of your team, so you automatically knew who you were gonna get. So I kind of get that aspect, but at the same time, if you were ready to poach from the other company, I guess if they would have tactically had said that they're playing it safe, maybe I would have gotten that. But that wasn't the case. Interesting to see what will occur come Monday. We saw that after SmackDown went off, that there were other draft picks that happened. And hopefully we can see something else on the lighter. I would like to see NXT make some drafts. I also want to see trades. I would actually like to see them trade individuals that aren't in the pool, trade them to the next show so they can get an extra draft pick or something like that. I don't know how that play out. I don't know how it would occur. And it might be going a little bit too far. But I would like to see just one instance where that would occur. Maybe they get one trade per night, or I guess until said deadline, until I think it's May 5th after Backlash, where the rosters are locked in. You see, I can't say better, but I had an alternate measure and exercise to use for the draft. I would have gone with somewhat of the pool, but it would have been more in line to where so you have both shows, and I've explained this before. So for example, each roster per round puts up a certain number of individuals in their pool. So for instance, SmackDown puts up 3 and Raw puts up 5 because their roster is bigger because of their 3-hour show. What I would do is, let's say SmackDown puts up 3. So the 3 would be, let's say, KO, AJ, and LA Knight. Out of those 3, Raw has to take 1. And Raw would do the same on the other end. And anybody who is not, you can't put up the same individuals. Again, once you put them up, that's it. They're out of the eligibility. So you do that round by round until you get to the closing of the draft. I think it makes it a little bit more fun, a little bit more easier to dance around and play with. I'm assuming that it would be a little bit more of a tangent and more of a back and forth to see. But I don't know. We'll see how this plays out. As long as I'm not last, I'm Mr. AKA Mr. Irrelevant. Hey, look what happened to a couple of guys out there already. We already saw how that went with Tom Brady and Brock Purdy. It's not a bad thing. The old bloodline and the new bloodline. Honestly, there's a lot of people who are not happy with what's going on with the new angle with the bloodline. Me, I'm waiting. I'm patiently waiting to see how this builds up, the progression. I'm glad that they're giving Solo Sikoa more of an outlet as a talent. Doesn't have to do much talking. Just be effective. And there's still the fog in the air of who's the tribal chief. And it seems as though that everything is pacing. Just like I saw somebody complaining about now that Cody finished the story, what's next? Well, that's what's fun about this, the possibilities. What's next? We're still, we got to throw people at Cody. Like right now you threw AJ at Cody. This is the first time that these two have face off against each other. They have somewhat of a history. AJ spoke about how he had a connection with his dad. And also there is that history in Japan that they never linked up. AJ was gone, Cody stepped in. They both were in Bullet Club. So there is story there. If you could play it properly, if you could play it right. I see that there's the ability and the possibility to expand on that. We can make something go along with it. We can build with Cody down the line. Will the crowd turn on him? Will the fans turn on him? Of course. Of course. We've seen it all the time. It's inevitable. I don't see any problems with that. But I believe that down the line, you will see something progressing with Cody and his white hot baby face look. So as for the draft, going back to that, we're gonna see brother AJ, what's going on, brother? Yeah. We will see some form of possibilities with Raw. I don't see a lot of movement there either, unless it's tag team wise. But other than that, or maybe a call up to the main roster. Shout out to Homework Mike. He made a mention that he believed that Gallus is going to get a call up. I could see that. I don't think they're going to move up Chase U. I think Chase U is perfect where they are. They're good right there. At the same time, NXT is also trying to get their own foot planted firmly as their third show. And shout out to them. Their ratings have been going up slowly but surely. Listen, they were only 20,000 away from AEW's Dynamite this past week. What can you say about that, man? That's a lot telling. Guys, once again, if you want to comment on the shit or make comments on the show, just go to the YouTube or to the X Twitter page. But you go to YouTube because I'm trying to get those numbers up. Yeah, I'm gonna get those subs up over there. Go to YouTube, and if you want to make comments, I can be able to see it here. Because like I mentioned, shit, man. Facebook and streaming, I gotta get it together. So, just quickly, just want to make sure we do some housekeeping here. I'm gonna run into some wrestling rundown as well. So, I might as well just play some music, right? Let's just.
It's wrestling rundown with Chase Lancey. As you can see, I'm wearing my New York Knicks jersey. I'm not a Knicks fan. I haven't been a Knicks fan since, like, the 20s, like, the early 2000s, like, since the 20s. Like, yeah, when you pass around the round ball, make sure you put it in the basket, in the peach tree, and put it in the peach bucket and get it up there. No, I haven't been a Knicks fan since, like, the early 2000s, maybe 1999. They always break my heart, and I just stopped being a Knicks fan. But I'm a New Yorker. Support the team. Let them do their thing. Hopefully they get further down the line in the playoffs to see if they're looking really good. So show some love. That's what I'm doing here. Plus, it's a cool jersey. Any case, wrestling rundown and just doing some quick housekeeping. As always, I'm the Norm McDonald of this segment, and listen to Weekend Updates Wrestling Rundown. TNA is possibly looking into bringing back Tessa Blanchard? Really? If you guys don't know, Tessa Blanchard has been out of wrestling for some time. She has been doing some wrestling, as reported, in Mexico. But due to some cancer culture-type allegations, Tessa Blanchard has just persona non grata in the States. Apparently TNA has some beliefs that piss mist that was around for Tessa has been going away, so there's possibilities of having a return to TNA. I don't think it's more along the lines of the fan base. I think the fan base would take it or leave it, especially if you're going to bring her in with the hot heat. I can see that's possible. But I also have to say that I don't know if the locker room is going to appreciate that. It's not she left a lot of bodies in the back that would not be pleased to see her return. So we shall see how that plays out. Just quickly about the WWE releases. I just found it odd that a lot of their releases were of a certain cultural persuasion and race. A lot of Asians that were released. And Dushir. The only one that wasn't of that
culture was Cameron Grimes. People were surprised that Cameron Grimes got released, and I'm like, I'm not. They really didn't have much for him. I understood it. I get it. And I'm hoping that many of those, they end up flourishing and going to certain companies. Who could benefit from them really right now is TNA. I believe TNA really would be able to benefit from the, mostly all of them, I believe. They make logical sense to go there. So good luck to them. And plus, I'll see you at House of Glory, guys. Logan Paul, Ronda Rousey's comments about him. Rousey made comments stating, I don't think they were really on the negative tip, but they're saying that they give Logan Paul more leeway when it comes to him and his ring work. And I'm like, why not? Especially early on when he was just getting his toe in the pond of WWE. I just think that, yeah, he was getting, but now that he's a little bit more comfortable with what's going on and able to put the work in, they're gonna take the leash off of him and let him rock. So I don't see anything wrong with that. Broken Matt Hardy returns to TNA. His contract was done with AEW. Now he makes it pop up at TNA's last event, and he wants to make it clear, guys, he's not under contract. He has no contracts with anybody. He's good. So WWE, if you still want him, give him a call. I think it'd be. I think it's best let them finish out their career in WWE. That's where they started at when they were teenagers. Let them go out and go into the Hall of Fame. Let's close it out there. What's next for Hook? There are those who are talking in the wrestling world that there's possibilities of him popping up, and maybe WWE down the line. Maybe he's still young. He's very young. And he has a skill set right now. Although he is in a key storyline with Jericho, I guess, if you want to call it that. There is an upside to him. He has definitely has to look. There's a following for him as well. I think that there's something there. I'm not quite sure whether he would be a mic work guy, but he's one of those that you could polish up. He's a rough stone that you can polish up, so we could see. Congratulations to Finn Balor signing a new contract with WWE. There were those who were speculating that he's going to be done with them and probably branch on to go elsewhere. Nope, he's comfortable. And this is what you guys understand about a lot of wrestlers in the business. Money's good. Money's real good. And when you're comfortable and you got a nice schedule and you're liked within the business, you can't always, it's not always about winning championships. It's not always about walking around with the gold. It's all about the setting, what they have going on for you, what's happening. And I think that Finn is that guy. He's settled in. He's good. He found his placehold, and he's happy to be where he's at. We just recently heard that Damian Priest signed an extension to his contract as well. So we're going to start seeing that little by little as well. There's also speculation and talks that many individuals on the WWE roster are not ready to jump ship to go to AEW. They're conflicted with the stories that they're hearing, and those who may be already there, who were from the WWE prior, maybe trickling back and letting them know, don't come here. Don't come here. So, you know, we'll see. Speaking of AEW, Goldberg has recently spoken on a podcast recently and discussed the fact that AEW reached out to him, but he refused because they're a bit cheesy. Goldberg didn't want to lose, and the money wasn't right for him. Let's just keep it a buck. That's all it was. Next up, 2K banning of creators. So this past week, we saw that top creators on the 2K WWE 2K platform, one especially known as What's the Status, was banned for his modding and such. As of today, the ban was lifted on What's the Status. WWE Games and What's the Status came to an agreement, and it seems as though that he will be back on. Hey, WWE Games, 2K. Here's an idea. Just between you and I, here's an idea. Hire them. They're actually really good at what they do. Hire them. Yeah. I'm a fan of modding. I believe that modding should be done in games. As long as it's not showing indecent and improper images and such, and you're continuing the model of what the game is based on. On PC, the modding is exceptional. The last great WWE game that came out for PC was 2K19, and it had a fantastic run on PC. And the modding world, the community there was amazing. So I believe that they should expand a little bit more, let them play around with it. And especially when you see the mods that they do with these images and these characters and such, it's phenomenal. I believe the one thing that probably held him back or probably hurt him was the fact that he was creating female wrestlers to fight males, and they were able to get bloody and stuff like that. I think that might have been the thing. But what kills me at the same time is you ban him for that, but you won't take down the images of boobs and ass and all that stuff when you go to the image creator scene. I just click on the first page, and it's a naked woman there. Listen, I'm not one to say, I'm opposed to a naked woman. Hell, I love me a naked woman. But come on, guys. You got kids on there. Shit, we got to monetize that shit. We got to monitor it. That's ridiculous. Next up, Grizzled Young Veterans make their AEW debut tonight on Collision. Shout out to them. I'm hoping they do well. They were a popular team on NXT when they were there. It's unfortunate that how they use them later on down the line in NXT, but very good tag team, and hopefully they do well there in the near future. Next up, Max Caster is bad. Recently, Max Caster went on his Twitter or his X. Shout out to you people who are watching me on X right now. You guys are awesome. And mentioned that he was suspended. Someone asked him where is he? Yeah, suspended. Seems as though that he was suspended due to some explicit lines in which he used during AEW Dynasty, cutting a promo against the Bang Bang Club. When I heard it, I was like, oh, they're letting him do that? Okay, cool. But as per the, would that be a reason why we suspend him? I don't know. I they've been letting him get away with a lot of other stuff, so why would that be the one that causes a rift with him? I don't know. We shall see. It's unfortunate as well because Max lost his father this past few months ago. I believe it was a few months ago, and I know he's been going through a rough time. And hopefully, that's not what's being at play here. But yeah, it's hopefully, you know, we see a turnaround for him. Next up, Dominic Mysterio is to undergo surgery. It seems as though that he will be seeing the knife in the next, I believe, week or so. Apparently he's supposed to be getting Tommy John surgery. That's a killer right there for those people who understand baseball and such. Tommy John surgery used to be almost a career ender, and until the person that they did they named it after, Tommy John, where it's a surgical condition for the elbow. A lot of pitchers now, because it's usually a pitcher's injuries mostly for them, they end up doing it earlier in their careers, and it gives them longevity. So especially now at WWE, we're seeing that they're able to crank out their fallen wrestlers out faster. They have a great medical facility, faculty that they have, that they go to, especially the doctors down in Alabama. They do a great job with them there. So to Dominic Mysterio, speedy recovery. But at the same time, they're not going to take him off TV because he draws too much heat. Seriously. And two more before I get to the main event. Guys are watching Dark Side of the Ring. Dark Side of the Ring has actually been, I don't think they will be running thin with what's going on in the business, but apparently not. Seems as though that the latest episodes that I've been watching has been with with Chris Adams, Sensational Sherry, just saw the one with Harley Race. Damn, Harley was a fucking, he was a tyrant. Shit. I met that man one time. He was in a wheelchair. I was at WrestleMania doing the whole spiel. He was sitting in his wheelchair. He just finished his signing. And I yelled out to him, "Hey, Harley, what's going on?" And he waves me over, and I'm going to approach him, and one of his handlers was like, "No, no, 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 no." And he's like, "No, I don't know." And I went and I shook his hand. And boy, at that age and at his health, the man still had a handshake like a vice grip. It was shocking, but yet thrilling to know that that man was still in that shape. That's a man's man. So, it's interesting that Dark Side of the Ring still has they're still cranking out these episodes. I mean, how many stories do they have? Congratulations to Ricochet for becoming the WWE's new speed champion. The title was bestowed to him last night after recording on SmackDown. And I didn't get to see what the belt looks like, though. I have to take a look at that. Speed is a show that's done on X, so on Twitter. So it's usually done on Wednesdays at 12 o'clock. So you will be seeing a newly crowned Ricochet on Twitter X Speed. And before we close out, we're going to the main event. So, I just wanted to touch up on the recent occurrences that's been going on with Tony Khan and in AEW. This is not shocking to me. I would like to say that. One second. I'll get to you, Tony, in a minute. So I have to say, after the incident actions that occurred this past week on Dynamite, we did see that, you know, Jack Perry makes his return, and now that he turns, punches Tony Khan in the gut. I was like, okay, By the way, Tony took the funniest bump ever on that show. That was hilarious. And the elites, the EVPs, they turn on Tony, hit him with the TK driver and such. I was like, you know what? Okay. I'm cool with that. At least they're trying. At least they're trying to do something, right? But then we get this.
You know, AEW, we've been doing this for 5 years. We are the most successful sports startup since the AFL pre-merger. There has not been a challenger brand that has gained as much market share as AEW in many, many, many years. We are like the Pepsi of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And we're up against a really evil juggernaut. WWE is our competitor. That's who we're facing. AEW, like the Pepsi of pro wrestling. WWE is like the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling.
And oh, really okay. I mean, what? Right. What?
All right, Tony, we're gonna hold on real quick. What's the prognosis? What are the dots?
What? Well, dude, like, what a comparison. Pepsi Coke, that's the easy layup right there, right? That's the easy layup. But Pepsi Harvey Weinstein? I get it. Yeah, you're trying to get clicks. You're trying to get some kind of media attention. I understand that. But dude, that's a very loaded fucking answer that you gave to those constituents there on NFL Network, who you could tell right there they were uncomfortable with that response. Fine. Vince is a dirty old man. We know it. We know that they're doing creep shit. And that's the allegations that's there. At the same time, you know, whoever else could be under that umbrella, it's, you know, most of these John Laurinaitis. But to say that the whole company was a Harvey Weinstein company, if that were true, no one would work there. No one would work there. And this is what I'm saying, like, someone needs to peel him away from certain events, social medias, microphones. It's outrageous for you to make that comparison. It is. It is such a far reach. I mean, and you could tell, like, he'd been wanting to use that for such a long time. Like, he was waiting for the opportunity to make that statement. Because, you know, he was probably back there, like, pitching it and working it with the guys and stuff, the people in the locker room. Was like, you know that the WWE is the Harvey Weinstein of the rest of the universe, right? Right, that works, right? No. Somebody take him away. By the way, I guess at least he's trying. He's working the gimmick. He's living the gimmick right now. At least he's trying. But I'm still, yo, Ed, what's going on, boy? My boy Edward Torres checking in. I feel as though that you're really doing too much right now, way too much. Remember, this is the guy who once said that you're not going to see me on TV taking bombs, taking spots, doing angles, whatever. And look what happens. Look, like I said, I give them credit. They're trying. They are trying. They're not just being lame ducks or trying to work their way just through it and just survive through it. They're trying. Hell, it was just recently announced that, shit, TNA only got 500,000, $500 pay-per-view buys? Shit, that's crazy. And it was actually a pretty good event, too, but jeez. But even still, like, that's scary how that company's still on shit. But, you know, even with that occurring, they still are just, they're still struggling to keep the audience that they have it. And I think slowly but surely, it's dying away. Just because of these instances, we saw it in the past when WCW went and started throwing shots at WWE. It was their demise. Same could be said for when TNA went head to head with WWE, when they went and run Mondays against them and throw shots, it didn't help. So I think maybe they should just start moving away from that. Maybe they should start just focusing on them, bringing up their stars, bringing up their talent, be more productive in storylines. And by the way, the utter disrespect of having a great story with Swerve Strickland. And if you want to put the tag on it, if you want to make it the way your first African-American champion, you wanted to be progressive, you wanted to be all out front and what people say, woke or whatever bullshit. He's a fucking champion. He's a great wrestler and he's a talent. You did this, and even just not even the aspect of him being an African-American wrestler, just for the story itself and where he's come from, where he began. You didn't give him his flowers and give him just due to celebrate that and have him cut a promo and let the crowd take him in. No. You open the show with the EVPs. and you have him in a match with Kyle Fletcher. Not to take anything away from Kyle Fletcher because he's a good wrestler, but really, this is what you did for him? Nah, that's utter disrespect. And don't give me no bullshit that we're going to have a big celebration on Collision because nobody's watching it. It's horseshit. And this is what I'm saying. For all those who are having this, you know, yay, AEW can do no wrong. Listen, there's shit on both sides of everybody's fence. Everybody has fertilizer or fucking dog shit on their fence. So don't give me don't give me that nonsense that everything's all in well. Oh, but if WWE does it, they get shit too. I shit on them too. I call them out for their bullshit as well. Just like anybody else, I call out on their bullshit. Tony, do better. Stay the fuck away. Use that neck brace and just stay the fuck away. Matter of fact, take the neck brace, put up a little bit higher and cover your mouth. Shut the All right, guys, going to wrap it up here on this end. Much more to talk about possibly later on down the line. And, oops, they won't do that. All right, guys. Thanks again for chiming in, checking in. I'm, like I said, doing a lot more for the social medias, and I'm trying to check out for you guys here. Pardon me. Be a part of all the social media outlets out there. Get a part of the YouTube. Get a part of the Facebook pages, the group, and the page itself. Follow us on X. Follow us on Twitch. I saw some viewers on Twitch as well. Thank you guys for being on there as well. And more to talk about, guys. I'm going to go get a...
Pack all that. Pack all that. Pack. All our
Well, guess who's making a return back to the building? Yeah. Our boy, Brian XL. Well, he kept his promise.
That was in there. That's second. Yeah.
Back to back.
Second term.
I'm about to play Lotto. Ouch. I'm about to see if I win some money today.
No doubt.
So we get some bread going in. So we talked about it last week on the episode. We wanted to discuss what would go into the mind of Brian XL in today's modern wrestling if he was in that position. Well, he's in a position right now with HOG's House of Glory. Check them out. Cinco de Mayo. Big show coming up, man. They just released some breaking news for this upcoming Sunday, May 5th. The Cruiserweight champion, Casey Navarro, is going up against the man himself, Laredo Kid. That's a good booking right there. That's a nice match.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Make sure you check those guys out. Tickets are still available. You can go to tickettailor.com for tickets. Tickets are still available. 5 p.m. start time. So it's a good time to go in there, do your thing, come out, get your drink on. You still got time to chill. So we're going to go and we're gonna ask the booker. We're going to talk to the booker today, our boy BX. So first of all, of course, you're hands-on with the majority of stuff that goes on there. But it's not often that we see an indie promotion that's really tied to storylines and such. How are you able to keep the pace with that?
That's a good question. I think it's super important. You know what I mean? Sometimes, people don't follow storylines when it comes to fans. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's fans that appreciate storylines. You know what I mean? I think that to be able to keep the fans coming back, you definitely should add some storylines because the fans get invested on, whatever is going to happen next. You know what I'm saying? So it definitely is it's important to put some storylines and some guys on the roster for sure.
Yeah, because for me, I would think about it more about as a promoter, each time you're doing an event, you're bringing new eyes to the product. You know what I mean? You're always looking at a new audience. So indie wise, a lot of booking for them is just basically let's get these dream matches, let's get these super matches going on. But you guys have always been consistent to having storylines. I mean, one of the biggest storylines you had last year, when we mentioned, was the Booker storyline when the Bookers came back. Another great storyline you had was Charles Mason and his rise to fame and such, or what he did. Do you often get some kind of comments or compliments and such, or maybe from the fans when they're going along with what's happening with the shows?
Yeah, absolutely. You can see them in the comments, and a lot of times, you know, at the live events, they'll tell you how they feel. You know what I mean? They tell me all the time, you know, the characters that they you know, support and stuff like that. And, you know, just the whole thing, the reaction from the fans, man, when we keep these stories, like you said about the Mason, even with Mason and La Sombra, you know what I mean? Like the hardcore match they had when Mason lost that belt, that was months, you know what I mean, of storylines. You know what I mean? I think that is super important. And, you know, the way the fans act when I see them in person, you know, they all invested in it. You know what I mean? Every time I talk to the fans, they always bring up some storylines that we're doing. You know what I mean? So I know that that's working.
So how is it that, you know, I mean, of course, it's always the pop, the crowd gives, the chants. You know me, I'm vocal as hell when I'm on there. So you already know. I have my sign and everything.
No.
Yeah, you've thrown my sign around a couple of times and such. But even still, you've grown to see and know that the crowd has become more important to what the basis of wrestling is. I'm not sure whether if you really focus on other promotions and stuff, or even today's current main shows or whatever. Are promoters staying in tune of what the fans are into? For instance, you know, WWE finished Cody's story. So do you find it that it are we still gravitating to what the audience wants, or is just, you know, whatever the dream matches are there for?
No, I think the storylines are important, and WWE is good at that too. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, AEW does it sometimes, you know, but obviously, you know, there's a lot of times, you know, AEW just do a lot of dream matches. I mean, they got so many great guys on their roster that it's like, I'm not trying to compare them to PWG, but it's like a company that has like so many great wrestlers that look at the Bryan Danielson versus Ospreay. Mm-hmm. That right there, that's a dream match. You know what I mean? I feel like they could have built it more. You know what I'm saying? But even though, look what they delivered, the match was crazy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, obviously, you know, I think it just depends. You know what I mean? There's some fans that want to see those dream matches, and there's some fans that appreciate the storylines. You know what I mean? I think, you know, you could always build the match to make it bigger. Like, even with the Santana and Ortiz, I feel like it has so much there. Like, you know what I mean? There's so much history. AEW reached out to us to give them some footage of obviously, you know, NAX was with us, Santana and Ortiz, for a couple of years, so we had so much footage, so we just started giving them footage. But I feel like just that alone, I feel like that's a whole year storyline that they could have got from these guys.
Yeah.
The fans were super, invested in it.
Yeah, that's one of those missed opportunities I feel should have been there, could have been there. There was opportunities to where the especially knowing the interpersonal relationship of them, the fall of the breakup and such, that they could have, they could have capitalized on it. So when you're looking at today's landscape of the mainstream wrestling and such, do you ever tie what's going on up there and possibly, like, you know, not to say that it's ripping it off, but, you know, it's basically taking a little piece in here and using it for HLG for House of Glory?
Nah, I don't. To be completely honest with you, I don't watch AEW and I don't watch WWE. Not because, I'm not a fan. Like, you know what I mean? Like, obviously I'm a fan of wrestling. I love wrestling, but sometimes the product, you know, what they produce sometimes is just, for me, I just can't watch it. You know what I'm saying? And that's been going on for years. Like, you know what I mean? So even before House of Glory, like, you know what I mean? And sometimes I can't watch it unless it's like, you know, a match that I want to watch, or one of my guys, you know, Private Party, or, you know, I mean, somebody I support, I want to see what they're doing, and then I'll tune in. You know what I mean? So I can't sit here and say that I copy anything from them because I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I get it, because I do the same thing when it comes to the podcast. I can't, unless it's individuals who already been in the business for years on out. You know, say like a Cornette or Bischoff or guys like that. I can't listen to any wrestling podcast or on my level. I can't, because then I start believing that I'm going to start sounding like them and thinking like them, and it gets a little bit construed. But for you, although you're not really on the scope of what's going on, but you do recognize that there is some great talent on there, and you found your way to bring said talent to that way. Are you on the pulse of the indie scene? Like, you know who's the hot guys these days? Like, recently you guys brought in Blackwood, and Blackwood has been hot for a minute, man. And I was happy to see that you guys finally brought him in. Do you keep it? Are you involved in what the indie scene is like?
I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, there's certain individuals that, how you say that word? They word means something to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So if they be like, oh, look, check this guy out. He's doing his thing, then I'll go and check it out. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times I don't know what's going on in the indies. You know, but sometimes, you know, obviously, there's some people that come on your feed. You know what I'm saying? Like on IG and stuff like that. And we keep seeing the same person. And then you go look to see what the person is doing. And you see him everywhere. Or he's killing it, having great matches. You know, automatically, I would want to bring him in to the New York crowd to, you know, get a piece of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for me, it's just like, if you hot on the indies and you're doing numbers and stuff like that, obviously, I would want to bring you in. You know what I'm saying? I think putting you against one of my guys, it helps everybody. It helps put money in your pocket. It'd be the wrestler. And it brings some eyes for both of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good dichotomy that you have going on with that, because not only is House of Glory a promotion, but it's like we mentioned before, it's a wrestling school. And for you guys to even have and give those opportunities to your guys, your in-house dudes, and put them in matches and get their feet wet for what the next possibility, the next level is has been great. What's your criteria when it comes to booking these matches? So, you know, we mentioned AEW putting together dream matches and such. You're looking at the spectrum. You have a Casey Navarro who's on the come up on that side as well. And, especially nowadays when you know, they're here today and boom, they could be signed tomorrow. Like, yeah. Has it been something for you to be able to know exactly when you're going to bring individuals in and set them up to the right match setup and such?
I think it depends on the individual. Like you said, like, you know, if they're making noise out there, you know what I mean? I want to wait my turn to bring them in. You know what I mean? At the right moment. You know what I mean? It's always at the right moment. You don't want to bring in somebody that people really don't know. You know what I'm saying? For me, because I already got my guys. You know what I mean? So if anything, I'm bringing other people that are making noise out there to go against my guys. So like it's a case of Casey, right? The kid is talented. You know what I mean? I think he's a great talker. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think he has the package to make it to the next level. You know what I mean? He has a look. He could talk. That's all you really need. He could wrestle. You know what I mean? So for me, it's just like also the size. You see, he's small. So obviously, I feel like he works good with the cruiserweights. You know what I'm saying? I feel like in my guys, I got a lot of high flyers, so I'll put him in that category to kill with my guys. I think when a guy is, you know, more bigger, it just depends who you are. If you're bigger, then I put you with this guy. If you're smaller, I put you with this guy and see how it matches up. You know what I mean?
You've given, like I said, you've given a lot of your boys opportunities and such. For instance, the main event, you guys have gotten them from day one, and they've been touching ground everywhere. Like, I've seen them hit the ground running. They're doing big things. Shout out to them and Midas and Lion Man. Those kids are killing up. How does it I mean, I know it makes you proud to see when they're, you know, achieving their greatness and stuff. But, you know, how is it when you're like a dad and when it's time to let them go, you got to let them go? Like, how does that feel when those moments happen?
Oh, man, it feels good, man, because those kids put in a lot of work. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to think about this. When those kids were coming up, they were waiting their turn. They had to sit back and watch Private Party. They had to sit back and watch Lucha Bros. They had to sit back and watch LAX going back and forth for the titles. You know what I mean? For the tag titles for House of Glory, because they were a part of our tag division, all those guys, before AEW came along. So these guys were just sitting back. And then, you know, when they had opportunities presented, they were going through their thing. But they was like, you know, they just waited their turn. So now that I see them where they are, they deserve everything. They're obviously our tag team champions. I'm representing the merch now. Like, I feel like those guys are really good in this character. I'm a big fan of character when it comes to wrestling. Mm-hmm. And the circus and all that, that's thinking out the box, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like they could go against anybody and have great matches. If you see that they won the, you know, they wrestled the Briscoe brothers and you know, RIPJ, man, like, you know, that's one of my good friends. His last match was against Main Event, if you didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's just like, I put these guys against any tag team, you know what I mean? They're going to be able to hold their own, you know what I mean? But one of my favorite matches with them was against the Briscoes, you know what I'm saying? And I'm proud of them, man. They're killing it.
Do you think this day and age, the new up and coming, the young kids, they're afraid to embrace gimmicks? They're afraid to come out and maybe test the waters with different styles, different ways to be presentable to the masses? You know, most of them, they all come out, they always look like, initially, they're doing backyard wrestling. Like, every time I see them, they always come out that way. But do you think they're afraid, or do you even help with the development with that as well?
Absolutely. I think character is super important. You know, for me, you know, if you want my advice, I feel like character is everything, because everybody looks like they wearing the same thing or doing the same moves. Like, how are you supposed to stand out? You know, because I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, how character, like that girl Tony Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's killing it. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy because she'll be on my timeline. Like, you know, from I go watch some AEW, like a clip on AEW to see if I want to grab somebody to put one on my show. And then they show her like black and white. So, you know, for me, it's like when I seen that, I see who she was. I'm like, wow, this girl came along. She's a different person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So who she was before. But right now, I heard that the person I was having a conversation with, one of my guys, he watches, obviously he's in tune, and he's saying that she's killing in AEW. You know what I'm saying? And that's just that character. Once you turn that character on, it's like people are so invested in that. You know what I'm saying? So if you coming up, you know what I mean, and you feel like you want to like look apart, come up with a good character and go full force with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, really go full force, and I promise you it's going to work out for you. You're going to stand out more than anybody. You know what I mean? These characters, I think wrestling has got back to that. Yeah, I mean, you have the wrestlers like the Ospreys and, like I said before, the Bryan Danielsons and, you know, of the world. But then there's also characters. And if you look at the characters in WWE and you look at the characters that AEW, they superstars. People who love, you know, obviously us as fans, all of us, right? We, you know, it's different now, right? So It's like we already know fans sometimes, you know, and I had said this in another podcast. You know, I said something like fans are smarter than the wrestlers, but I didn't mean to say like that. I mean, like, fans know what you're going to do next. A lot of fans, they can watch a match and know what you're going to do next. So for me, it's just like when they see character, they're like, well, okay, now I'm entertained now. Now I'm entertained. Like, I don't know what this person's about to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? And they'd be more invested into the promos or the character itself than the actual wrestling. You know what I mean? So it's just like people want to be able to get entertained. And for me, this is why I feel like, you know, these characters are important. That's why I was doing this so much at House of Glory. And we're going to go back to that soon. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like that's the future, you know what I mean, of wrestling.
Yeah. I know I've known you for X amount of years. And one thing that I've known that you do exclusively is, like, you usually stay out of the limelight. Like, you do a lot of let the wrestlers, let your talent, let your students be on the forefront. You know, you've had your moments, you had your matches, especially those times where, you know, it was a part of an elevation to drawing in the audience, bringing in the crowds, helping to putting another talent over, such like that. You've been real good with that, but you've been real low key. Other than that, I don't really see you hitting up the socials and taking down, bashing other promotions or the companies like that. You've been real low key with that. You know, you stay out of that garbage. With Tony Khan recently, he's been very exceptional with taking pot shots with at the rival company, so quote unquote. Is it good for business? Does it help business? Or is he putting a spotlight on a negativity on his promotion?
I will say this. For me, I'm just in my position. I'm not in his position. I think maybe if I was in his position, things would be different. But I'm in my position. You know what I mean? And for me, I think, you know, I don't go and bash nobody. That's not what our House of Glory is. Well, that's not it's there for. Like, you know, what people are doing is their business, not none of my business. You know what I'm saying? I'm just worried about what House of Glory is doing. You know what I'm saying? And so for me to put anybody down or diss anybody on social media, that's just not my thing. It never been my thing. Even personal, like, I wouldn't do that. If somebody sees something about me on social media, I'm not going to reply to that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to find out where you're going to be at an event or whatever, and I'm going to show up. You know what I mean? And I want you to tell me what you said on social media to my face. You know what I mean? Right. And maybe we can have a conversation. You know what I mean? Because back and forth on social media is not going to help nothing. Like, you know what I mean? We just both going to look stupid. You know what I mean? So for me, I'd just rather handle the situation head on and face to face if there is a situation. But
yeah.
For me, when it comes to Tony Khan, I think that, you know, when he made that remark with WWE, I think that that's smart. He was in the at the NFL draft. He was on the NFL Network, and that's a whole different audience. That's not a WWE audience, or that's not an AEW audience. That's an NFL audience. You know, there's people that love football that don't watch nothing else, no baseball, basketball, nothing else. There's wrestling fans that love wrestling and don't care about UFC, boxing, and other like, you know what I mean? So he's talking like, you see how if you notice, I watched the clip because you told me we was gonna have this conversation. So I watched it, and then it's like, when see what he's doing, look what he's talking about. You know, Dynamite, 8 o'clock, the Wednesday nights. He's promoting everything he's doing. Rampage, he's promoting everything he's doing. That's genius. Like, you know what I'm saying? So for the people that are NFL fans and don't really watch wrestling, but they know what WWE is. Because I think most people know what's WWE or WWF, even if you're not a fan, right? Because it's a big, you know, company. It's a monster. It's a beast in itself. So for me, I feel like he did it smart. He'll mention WWE because then the fans that don't know who he is or don't know who AEW is, they're going to be like, well, I know what WWE is. There's another company. That's a wrestling company. Oh, they going back. Right there, you got them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now you know who AEW is because there's times that I'll ask people if they know what AEW is and they don't know, but they know what WWE is. You know what I'm saying? So if you had that opportunity, he had that opportunity, and he sat there. I'm not, you know, I don't know about that whole Harvey Weinstein thing that comment he made. That's for you guys to judge. I'm saying that by him mentioning WWE, I think that was a good move on his part to be able to promote his brand on the same level as WWE, because most of the people probably don't know what AEW is. So by him mentioning it, now they know what AEW is.
Promotion equals promotion, right? That's all I trickle down
to. It's on the NFL Network. You know what I mean? Like, this is a draft pick. The whole NFL world is tuning in. And for him to promote his brand was the smartest thing. That was genius.
Yeah, I remember the early days of HOG. I remember when you guys were on the come up. Wherever y'all went, y'all had the shirt on. Everywhere y'all went. Yeah. It was an easy promotion. Everybody just asking questions like, what's that? What's going on? And you put your eyes on the prize and let everybody know what the come up was and what it is. Is it more right now keeping it level with sustaining your audience, or is it the fact that you know that that gate got to keep getting bigger and bigger? You got to start looking at the bigger picture. Because you have a Cinco de Mayo, not only you have the show on the 24th, but now we're going to Boston on the 25th. You're touching ground there. You know that those gates are going to get bigger. How is it that you're able to keep that going?
I think it's just sitting down and putting a plan together. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, for me, it was like, I was thinking about going a different direction. You know what I mean? And then I said, you know what? Let's before we even do anything, let's try to go out there and spread our wings, because we never did that before. You know what I'm saying? People have been asking us for a long time, like, when you guys are going to run outside of New York. You know what I mean? Like I said before, like, I was just comfortable being home in New York and running events. You know, doing very well. You know what I'm saying? And I think now this year we want to be able to like grow, you know what I'm saying? And go run events, more events outside of New York and see what happens. You know, worst thing that can happen, it just doesn't work. And all right, cool, we come back home and then just keep doing what we're doing. But I think, I think for everyone, even the guys on the roster, you know, everybody wants to branch out. You know what I mean? And I feel like if we do it together, we going to be able to do some numbers, man, and do very well in these different locations.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not a race, it's a marathon. And I always tell people that, and it's when it comes to achieving what you want, or even greater, it doesn't happen overnight. People want the turnover overnight, it doesn't happen that way. But before I let you go, WWE just had releases, and you know, it's about that time. It usually happens that, you know, sometimes you got to let people go. It happens that, you know, creative has nothing for you. And I've known that through the years. There's certain instances where you've had guys that had to leave as well. They have to go branch out and do their own thing, you know. Is there ill will? Is there any and feelings on lost love with your former students, your former performers, your former wrestlers and such? Is there any reconciliations that happen, or is it just like, yo, you do you guys, it's cool?
Yeah, you know, with me, you know, I only speak for myself. You know what I'm saying? And I mean this, you know, like, you know, God knows I'm not lying. I think every student that stepped in the House of Glory or was a part of House of Glory, and I have love for them. I have no hatred in my blood. When I go out there, especially if, you know, former students, like you said, if they wrestle the House of Glory and they're not in House of Glory no more, and I see them doing their thing out there, like, I love it, man. Like, you know what I mean? That's my boy right there. Like, you know what I mean? Nobody going to be able to take that away. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's always love, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not with that. Like, it'd be super fake if I was. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, it's just like, you spend your hard-earning money to come and train with us, you know, month after month, year after year. Like, how would I try to, like, look at you a certain way if you decide to branch out or if things didn't work out? You know what I mean? I will always root for my guys. If you represented the orange and black one day, time in your life, I'm always going to support you, whatever you do. Even, it don't have to be students, just anybody.
Yeah.
Like, if you support the House of Glory, man, look, I'm here doing this with you. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's the reason, is because you've been with us from day one. I mean, people look at me and think otherwise. Or I'm not worried about nobody, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't look at nobody's product. I'm not angry with nobody. I'm blessed, man. For where I come from, man, I'm blessed. Like, you know what I mean? So that would be stupid of me if I'm worried about the next man. Even outside of wrestling, I never worry about the next man. It's just, that's not in my blood. I'm not worried about what you're doing. I'm worried about what I'm doing. You know, I'm going against myself. Like, you know what I'm saying? And trying to see how we can make this thing bigger. And, you know, and that's what it's about. Like, you know what I mean? So anybody that was in House of Glory or trained with us even for one day, like, I always going to have love for you for even choosing us to train you and believing in us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's perfect. Like, you know what I'm saying? We live in a crazy world, man. Nobody's perfect. And, you know, it's always love here, man. For me, it's always love. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like that, even from Red too. Like, I don't hold no grudges, man. We don't hold grudges with nobody. I mean, if you hold grudges with us and you think that we thinking something, then, you know, you wrong, man. I'm telling you this right now, you wrong. You know,
yeah,
because there's no grudges here, man.
It's a beautiful thing, because, you know, you always hear, when especially on the main scale, when people get released from certain companies and such like that, everybody already has a, you know, ill will, you know, the negativity stuff flying out, and it's like, you know, it's business, man, and that's what it usually happens.
And you know what's crazy? That they let you go, and I bet you've been killing the indies 1 year or 2 years, they're gonna call you right back.
Right. Yeah.
Nah, they're going to call you right back. You come out here, you get released, and you go out there and you kill it. And the good thing is AEW's there. So it's like, you could, if it's about money and you worry about, you know, obviously, you know, we got to feed our families, you got a company like AEW that come and give you a bag. They'll give you money inside you. You know what I mean? So you could be secure and you're good. But when it comes to WWE, man, you go out there, you kill it. You know what I learned about WWE, man? It's really business. You know what I'm saying? It's like, 100% business. So if you out there and you killing it, they're gonna call you right back. They're gonna want some of that, and they're gonna call you right back. You know what I mean? And it's like, if you notice, a lot of people left and came back.
Yeah,
they signed back. You know what I mean? And if CM Punk could go back to WWE, anybody could.
Anything's possible,
bro. Like, you know what I mean? Obviously, it hurts when it first happened, because, you know, you had the dream job. You there? You traveling the world? Like, You know, if you in WWE, you know, you've been watching the product. Most people, I will assume, like most everybody on that roster, have been watching wrestling since they were kids. And to be able to be around it and be signed to them, it's just a dream come true. So it's hard, you know, when they let you go, but you go out there, you grind, man, you keep God first, man, they're going to call you right back. Or you go to AEW and TNA or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I always look forward in a positive light when I see releases, because then I go, oh, after 90 days, I'll see you in House of Glory. I'll see you in House of Glory. But B, good looking out, man, as always, man. Good looking out, as always, man. Like I said, it's going to be a probably a 2 weeks, I mean, thing. Yeah, sure.
What do you think about Swerve's winning the AEW belt?
I thought it was a great accomplishment. The kid, I mean, like I said, from his first days when I first saw him and HOG and his grind on the West Coast, and then making his way to WWE, unfortunately got released from there, and it was maybe good tidings that it occurred. I know right now Triple H is like holding a fist, like, damn, I wanted to keep him so bad. And to see what they, you know, what they did with him now, it's a great thing. The only thing was is that I wish they would have gave him his flowers on Dynamite. He cut a promo on Collision, and that's not where the eyes are at. The bigger eyes on Dynamite, and you know, they booked him for a match, and you know, they gave him a competitive match that day. against Kyle Fletcher. And I think it should have been one that he had a moment that he was celebratory. Everybody was with him. They rolled with him. You know, they were in his house. And shout out to Nana too, man. We know Nana for years, man. And for him to get to where he's at too, man, it's hilarious, bro. It's a great hilarious. It's a good feeling with him, man.
100%, man. I feel like without one, we won't be able to, like, I think they have the peanut butter and jelly right there. I feel like that's the only way it would have worked, having those two guys together. You know what I mean? Nana dancing in the background. And, you know what I mean? Like, I think that they work really good together. And I see fans, you know, complaining about that. Like, you know, they didn't give him his flyers full of flowers because he didn't talk. You know, obviously, I think, you know, I could agree with that to a certain extent. But sometimes, man, we compare WWE, AEW too much. Just because WWE would do it, that means that AEW has to do it. You know what I'm saying? And I agree with, you know, I agree. I think he should have did Dynamite. I think he should have talked. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, it's bigger than that. Like, you know what I mean? He won the world title. Like, you know what I mean? We're talking about Shane Strickland, Swerve. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I knew him for a long time, man. And we booked him like in 2011 or 2012.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And to be able to sit back and see this kid being the world champion, man, it's just an amazing thing to watch. You know what I'm saying? And even though, with me, when it comes to AEW, I think that he should definitely go the route. There's so many belts, right? So I feel like you see how WWE back in the days, like they would make like The Rock or Stone Cold or Triple H. You know, it was a build. You know what I mean? They had them go to Intercontinental, get the Intercontinental title and then the world title.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of these guys, like MJF, they went straight to the world championship. You know what I mean? I feel like longevity, I think it would have been smart to put, like, you know, these guys to do for the small titles and then build to the big title. Because now that he's the world champion, he's the world champion now currently. What would you do with him next? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is he going to still be on that world title level? Or are you going to bring him right back? Obviously, they could do different things and having the storylines with different people. But it's just like, if, you know, I'm happy for him. I'm glad he has the world title. But I'm saying, like they should have built a lot of these guys with the smaller titles to be able to create longevity for and end up becoming the world champion. I said, yeah, putting the world title on these guys.
Yeah, it's the same with Cody. When I looked at Cody, who also went through the hollow holes of HOG as well. I got the poster up here, but that night that he pulled up, and we got the story done. And then now everybody's like, what are you going to do now? Were you just going to be throwing him matches until you could get him back into a legitimate storyline again? And you know, he's white hot. He's white hot face right now. He's their poster boy. With Swerve, I didn't think much about, you know, I didn't think much about the whole first African American champ. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking more about him and his chronological career of what happened and what got him there. And I think that's why I said the crowd was with him and they should have gave him that time. But I mean, at least they gave it to him at Collision. You know, they gave him that moment somewhere along the line.
And hopefully moving forward, you know, they're giving them, because he could talk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he got Prince Nana too, you know, Nana to talk too. You know what I mean? But I never look at stuff like that. Like, because he's the first African American, I never get caught up in stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think that he's just, because I knew him for so long and I knew all the work he put in. A lot of these guys, you know what I'm saying? And to be able to see him become the world champion is just dope to see. And he doesn't change either. Like, you see the same, when I talk to him, he's just the same person. A lot of these, you know, a lot of people, you know, they end up making it so weird and it's like they change, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I listen, I have a lot more that we talk about. Like I said, I want to do this when you're free. I know you got a busy weekend, of course. You be in New York. Cinco de Mayo, touching down. Like, guys, I tell you guys, Cinco de Mayo, you don't want to miss it. Doors open at about, what you can say, like 4 o'clock, because you guys, you know, you be iffy sometimes. You be iffy sometimes. Like, any meet and greets? Any meet and greets? We do a meet and greet?
I'm trying to do a Lucha Libre meet and greet. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
The Luchadores have a meet and greet and stuff like that. I think it should be cool.
Oh, you guys are going to turn the boil. If there's anything that happens in Queens, that section out there, they love their Luchadores. They'll pull up. I'm surprised he didn't do that one at La Boom. La Boom is where the Lucha.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? That Red told me the other day, right? He sent me a message. He goes, we should have done this in La Boom.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, why I didn't think about that?
Yeah. Perfect.
I said, bro, you tell me this right now. And it's just like, I didn't even think about it. I said, that would have been perfect for La Boom. Crazy.
But speaking of, on the 24th, you guys are La Boom. What happened there? Yeah.
So we was in the NY's, obviously our home, and they asked us if we could be able to move the venue. You know what I mean? Because they had something going on. And stuff
okay.
Like and, you know,
man, I figured as much.
Yeah, that's my home. You know what I mean? So if they need me to do a favor, I'm going to make it happen. If I could be able to move somewhere else, let's go somewhere else. Because they move mountains for me. You know what I'm saying? Those are my peoples over there. So if I need a favor or something like that, and they don't let no wrestling there unless it's me. Unless it has to go through me. Like if somebody contacts them, they'll be like, talk to Brian. Like we don't want nothing to do with wrestling. If Brian says yeah, then you can do a show here. If not, this is Brian's house when it comes to wrestling. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they always shooting me good. You know what I mean? Those are my peoples. Like, you know what I mean? So if they need it, like, yo, look, we need this 24th. Can you make this happen? Of course, I'm out. We're going to boom.
All right. Yeah, I figured as much. I figured it had to do like more bookings. Cause I was like, people ain't gonna miss that. You got names pulling up. You got AJ Francis pulling up. You got Matt Riddle returning on the 24th. It's gonna be big at La Boom. Tickets are available. You guys are still get the tickets available at TicketTailor.com and
HLGWrestling.net.
And HLGWrestling.net as well. And of course, if guys are in Massachusetts, you know, that area, Boston, they'll be there on the 25th as well. There's a whole litany of HOG wrestling going on the line. Bro, once again, like I said, I'm going to hit you up in a week or so. We're going to do this again. I got more questions for you. I want to ask you questions about booking women's matches. Who do you look at on the radar that when they come off? What's the best way? I got bunches. You got a bunch of shit to talk about, man.
Yeah, I'm with it, man. Let's try to do this every week.
Yeah, guys. Much more to talk about, guys. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. And for you people watching our live stream and such, you'll catch up. See you guys later. And once again, thanks again, B. Much love.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
Later.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All Entin Unmentioned. Yutz out.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.